Welcome to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti of Calvary Chapel, Montrose.
He calls you a saint. You will live forever because of Jesus. You can't do enough good on your own. So Jesus came to do it for you. Why else would he have come? If there was any other way, I'm sure heaven would say, take the left road, take the right road, take this one. Choose door number 3 to help you to get to heaven. But there is no other way, and we fall short. No one is worthy. We didn't make the worthy list. Thus God sent Jesus. So we are saints if we come through him.
For most Christians, they'll quickly correct you if you call them a saint. We typically reserve that term for people who have lived an extraordinarily righteous and generous life, not for people who find themselves messing up and missing the mark. Yet that's what Scripture calls us because it's what God calls us. As Pastor Ben will explain in today's message, because of the work of Christ on the cross, when you trust him for salvation, God now looks at you and sees only righteousness. Now here's Pastor Ben in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, as he continues his message, Worthy is the Lamb.
He made himself a man of no reputation. He wasn't hanging on, I got ribbons, dude. I took first place in heaven. None of this stuff, right? He took the role of a bondservant. He came in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. As a lamb's flesh, it provides for physical life. Jesus' flesh, his body, provided for eternal life. The Apostle John would have recognized Jesus in this role. He had been his Savior on the cross, right? John saw him on the cross. John saw him torn. He saw him battered, bloody, right? Thus, when Jesus entered the throne room, he entered as the redemptive sacrifice. Church, the slain lamb was a reminder to everyone of the justice of what is about to take place on the earth. He's a reminder. You see, Jesus had suffered and died on the cross so that every person who was about to experience the coming wrath of God would have an opportunity for redemption. Redemption means saved out of. Redemption means, you know, like an old car, right? If you gave me an old 64 Chevy Impala, I know how to redeem this car and make it like a brand new lowrider, right? I can do these kind of things. You and I as human beings, the Lord has redeemed us from the darkness and the sinful ways and the crooked ways that we were in. And he's redeemed us so that we can go to heaven. It's on him, on Jesus, this slain lamb that John is looking at, and he is standing there in the throne, and he's looking around, and there's angels, and there's creatures, and there's 24 elders, and godly people. Why am I looking at a slain lamb next to God? Getting ready to take the scroll. Because if it wasn't for him, nobody would be there. They wouldn't be there. You and I would not be going to heaven if it wasn't for this slain lamb. And sometimes we're so callous. Sometimes we, you know, yeah, I know Jesus. I know him up here. I think I've invited him here. But again, it's like when someone, if you have a buddy that took a bullet for you and died in your place and you came to be part of that service, man, your heart would be bleeding. And there's nothing you wouldn't do for that family. And some of us don't see Jesus that way. He has taken our place. Every day is a Memorial Day. We should be remembering what he did for us so that we could come and be in heaven forever and ever. So Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross so that every person who was about to experience the coming wrath would have an opportunity for redemption. But history shows that they rejected that free gift, but it cost Jesus so much. It cost him his life. They have turned their backs on God's gift and mercy. And now, whatever they're about to face during the tribulation, whatever they're about to face as he opens the scrolls, it would be based on their choice, on their own choice to reject Jesus. Thus, church, the Lamb was standing at the throne surrounded by the four living creatures and the elders. There were some unusual aspects. We noticed some properties to the Lamb, right? That is seven horns, which represent his complete power, right? Seven for completion. It's a number. And seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God or the Holy Spirit, whom we have spoken about earlier. When I say that to you, whom we have spoken of earlier, I make a reference to a little time before. Understand, you could go on our webpage, Calvary Chapel webpage, and pull up chapter 4, chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1, and come up to date just that quickly. You could do it in one afternoon, right? So we get to verse 7. Then, look at your Bible, he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Church, the place erupted. Remember silence? John waiting? Angels saying, who is worthy to take the scroll? No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth. And here it's quiet, and all of a sudden the slain lamb comes up to the one seated on the throne, God the Father, and he takes the scroll. The place erupted. John saw Jesus, the Son, who has the Holy Spirit resting on him, receiving the scroll from the hand of the Father. Verse 8, look at your Bible. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Church, something about our world and worldly ways. They have a gesture called drop the mic, right? And according to Wikipedia, a mic drop is the gesture of intentionally dropping one's microphone at the end of a performance or speech to signal triumph. Figuratively, it is an expression of triumph for a successful event and indicates a boastful attitude toward the one's own performance. Well, I got news for you. Jesus didn't drop a mic when he took the scroll. I guess he could have. He could have taken it and then, you know, he didn't do that. He didn't do any of that, right? When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they dropped like mics, right? We also learn from this verse that the creatures and elders had harps and golden bowls full of incense. And we are told that these are the prayers of the saints. Church, a couple observations here. Number one, the obvious one. Yes, there are harps in heaven, but I didn't say there weren't any. I just said angels aren't plucking them all the time, right? But there are harps in heaven, and these elders are using them, right? Second observation here is prayers are as incense, a well-pleasing aroma to God. But here's the question. Are you ready for the question? Can you answer this question? Who are these saints here in verse 8 whose prayers are as incense before God? Some say, and I myself have taught this, that the prayers are of the saints who appear in chapter 7 who have been martyred by Antichrist. However, the seals of the scroll have not yet been opened, right? It is possible that persecution against the saints has already begun by the time we're in heaven, or John is in heaven looking at this. Or could it be that they are your prayers and my prayers and the prayers of the 2,000 years past since Jesus taught us in Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe these are the prayers that it's about to happen. Jesus is about to open the scroll. So the angels have, or the elders have, these bowls, golden bowls of these prayers going up. So church, it makes sense that the prayers are calling for God to put his plans into motion. And they're about to happen especially now that Jesus has the scroll in his hand, they could be our prayers. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And if prayers are like incense, they're being offered before the Lord. Let me say something about saints here, because sometimes we get a little goofy with this. Are the prayers of the saints? Sometimes if you weren't brought up in church where they teach the Bible, you don't know that once a person turns their life over to Jesus, asks Jesus to forgive them of their sins, accepts him in their heart as their personal Lord and Savior, the Bible calls you a saint. Today, you're either a saint or an ain't. There's no other place. You're either a saint or an ain't. If you're a saint, that means you have asked Jesus to come into your heart. And listen, you don't have to do saintly things. What happens is God sees you. He sees you, if you may, through the lens of his son. That's how he sees you. He sees his son, his sacrifice, and then you're behind that. That's how he sees you. And so he calls you a saint. You will live forever because of Jesus. You can't do enough good on your own. So Jesus came to do it for you. Why else would he have come? If there was any other way, I'm sure heaven would say, take the left road, take the right road, take this one, choose door number 3 to help you to get to heaven. But there is no other way, and we fall short. No one is worthy. We didn't make the worthy list. Thus God sent Jesus. So we are saints if we come through him. So again, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, come. So now, as the creatures and elders offer the bowls of incense before God, they begin now to pluck their harp's strings, if you may. And look at verse 9. Look at your Bible. And they sang a new song. Can we just stop here? Most of you don't like new songs. Amen? Most of you would rather be singing Bringing in the Sheaves, written by the Fanny Crosbys of our world. Most of you don't want to hear a new song. You get tired when Sarah introduces a new song, right? What are you going to do up here? This is heaven, by the way. We're in heaven. Are you seeing this? And they sang a new song. Does that eliminate you? Because you don't want to learn a new song? Are you going to be on the sidelines? I wish they'd sing Fanny Crosby music. Is that you? Listen, you're going to be changed. Thank God. Aren't you glad? If you can't learn a new song right now, could it be because of stubbornness? If so, is it time to ask the Lord, Lord, can you take your spiritual scalpel, come down to my heart, and cut out this little heart area that I get so turned off by new songs? Scripture says, and they sang a new song. Someone's doing it. Could you imagine if there had not been another song since Bringing in the Sheaves? We have reached the climax of new songs. You guys in the 1800s, too bad. You have to learn what we sang in the 1900s, 1920s, right? But now there are no more new songs. Could you imagine if there was no more new songs? You see, it's us. It's us who are finite beings. We come to an end because we don't allow ourselves to continue to grow. We get comfortable in plateauing. And I'm telling you, plateau is not a good thing. When I'm in the hospital rooms and we're praying for a loved one and that heart machine plateaus, they're dead. Right now, you can choose to either spiritually keep living, asking God to grow you in these areas, or you can die right there and you won't be singing that new song. This is incredible, right? So let's keep on. Look at your Bible. It's there. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. I don't know, maybe our musicians ought to put that into music. There's a challenge for you, worship team. Put that into music. It's a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open. I don't know how it's going to go, but it's a song. Anyway, let's read the lyrics. And to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. There it is again. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Church, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders have begun to sing while they have fallen before the Lamb, and they realize what has taken place. So history, what took place yesterday? What has taken place? That is, that they have been redeemed to God by the blood of the Lamb, who is standing right there in front of them. Right? They're singing the song. by the blood of the Lamb out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So they're not Jews. That's only one tribe, one nation. They certainly aren't angels. They can't be redeemed. Who are they? Who are they? Who's been redeemed out of every nation? How about you and me? Raise your hand if you have a German background this morning. Oh, different, right? Raise your hand if you come from East Los Angeles, also known as the armpit of the world. You know, no, just kidding. Raise your hand if you're from Ireland or have an Irish background, right? There you go. You know, listen to what it's saying. You know, they have been redeemed to God by the blood of the Lamb out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And they also, so this is what they realize. We're all here from all over the place because of Jesus. And they also realize what will surely take place, and that is that Jesus will make them kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Let me ask you something, church. And it's a, by the way, let me ask you this. Who is the only group of people who can say out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, right? We have been redeemed. Who is the only group of people? It's the church. It's only the church that can say this, right? It's only the church, which means that the church is in heaven here in chapter 5 before the tribulation starts in chapter 6. You know, when you start putting this together, oh my word, it's true. Here it is, right? So we start seeing that. You're not going to the tribulation period. I'm not going to the tribulation period. Father God's not going to beat us up and then present us to his son with black eyes. Here's your church, son. He's not going to do that, right? Not happening. Also, church, regarding us being kings and priests, I have this ongoing little dialogue with my daughter, Andrea, who says to me, Dad, I don't know about kings, Dad. Do you think literally kings sometimes? And, you know, some of us don't have the temperament to be kings. We don't want to be kings. Andrea, it doesn't matter what you want, honey. You're going to be in heaven. The Lord's doing this for us. He has a plan, and his plan, I know how your plan is. It's about this big, huh? His plan is like from Walmart to the airport, big. I mean, it's a big plan for you. He's going to change you. He's not leaving you as he found you. Thank God. He's changing us all the time. And these 7 years with him just hanging out, glory, hallelujah, our Pentecostal friends would say. Right? This is a great thing that's going to happen out here. So kings, you should know, and I think you could swallow this and be a little bit easier with this. Kings have a responsibility of providing leadership for people. So just providing leadership. I know how some of you ladies are. You provide leadership. Don't eat those potatoes. They're very hot. Blow on them a little bit. That's providing leadership. Honey, drink all your milk. That's it. The cow isn't with us anymore. So you provide, right? But you'll be able to provide later on. We see you guys at the bus stops, you know, at the school stop. Sir, you cannot come in with your car this way. Turn it around the other way. And man, you're out there. Man, don't come in this way. And so parents learn how to go the right way and drop off their kids. Don't say you can't provide direction. Yes, you can, or instruction. And so the Lord's going to use that raw talents that we have and perfect them, right? It's going to be an amazing time. The Lord promises that they will share his throne, Revelation 3:21. This will happen after the tribulation when Jesus returns to the earth and establishes his kingdom, according to Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. Now, during Jesus' reign on earth, corrupt governments, evil dictators will not be allowed to continue. King Jesus will use his redeemed, right, people, right, to rule over the nations. He's going to have us be on guard for the things that Jesus esteems. So we're going to be able to do that. The redeemed are also priests. And as such, we will have responsibility to direct people to God, also to teach the word of God, to counsel and to pray for others. That's part of our priestly responsibilities in heaven. You forget, or you do not know, that when we come back to earth, the earth has never experienced a population boom as will happen when Jesus sets his foot on the earth. First of all, you don't die anymore at 70, 80, 90, 100 years, right? You live for 1,000 years, right? The people who come into the tribulation, after the tribulation, into the kingdom, we're not talking about you and me, The people that come in, the survivors that come in from the countries around them, the Bible talks about them, right? They'll marry, they'll have children, there will be no more cancer, there will be no more diabetes. You know, all these things are gone. They're going to live for 1,000 years. So in that, it's a huge population. The soils, the waters, and everything, the Lord is going to make all brand new. It's going to be a fantastic time. And I better hurry because I'm running out of time. So anyway, plenty of things to do. So we'll be able to do these things. 11, look at your Bible. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and a thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Again, he's in the middle. He's the whole thing. "To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Church, what started off as worship around the throne when Jesus took the scroll has continued to grow and grow and grow. And listen, true worship takes place when those in heaven saw the slain Lamb. That's when it happened. And it's true that when a congregation such as us, as we are here today, begin to understand that Jesus really, really, really died for you, and he's there pictured as he was, he died for you, that's when we realize this, that's when true worship really begins. It really begins. In fact, anyone who truly sees the slain Lamb cannot help but worship and begin the thank yous, the thank yous, the thank yous, and I worship you. 13, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." So church, worthy is the Lamb. We are beginning to understand this, but here in verse 13, we learn of those who already understand his worth. These creatures do. Those in heaven and earth and under the earth, such are in the sea and all that are in them. So the question always is, will your pet make it to heaven? Will your pet make it to heaven? Well, I don't know for sure, but Jesus does come back to earth riding on a horse. Revelation 19, on a horse, right? 14, then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. The worship service climax with the entire universe praising the Lamb of God and the Father seated on the throne. Interesting is the fact that the four living creatures said amen. And as we learned in chapter 3, verse 14, right, that Jesus is the amen. He is the amen. So it's likely they are praising the Lord loudly, saying, "Jesus," or "the amen," has the scroll. Again, we as followers end our prayers by saying amen. Here, the four living creatures are saying amen as Jesus has the scroll, the title deed to the earth. And something big is about to happen as Jesus is about to take the first seal off the scroll and open it. But you'll have to come back for that as we continue with the rest of the scripture. Father God, you're so good to us to give us peekaboo of what's happening in heaven. And we are so lame that we just can't put our arms around you as the slain Lamb. That's what provoked the worship. You're the only one worthy. Lord, help us to embrace you. Help us to worship you. Help us to appreciate you. Help us to grow in you. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that has not yet been redeemed, meaning they haven't given or surrendered their life completely to you, have not asked you when they're with their own lips, confessed you as their Lord and God to come into their heart. May that happen today, Lord. For the rest of us, Lord, keep us patient to the rapture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Come Drink the Water with Pastor Ben Garotti. Pastor Ben has been opening up the book of Revelation to us in this series. In Revelation 2, we see Jesus addressing seven churches. He praises and corrects most of them in turn. When you read through these letters to the churches, which one strikes you the most? I think I need the words to the church in Ephesus most often, where Jesus says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." As I have journeyed through life with Christ and learned so much about all areas of the scriptures, it's been easy to replace the fervent love from the beginning with the head knowledge. I begin to run on what I know instead of running on the everlasting, all-encompassing grace of God, and I forget that love is what it is all about. Maybe your struggle is not the same as mine, but I know that God is also speaking to you today through these letters. Open up your heart and let Him speak to you. Come Drink the Water is a ministry of Calvary Chapel Montrose in Montrose, Colorado. Are you in the area? We would love to see you at one of our services. You can find us online at calvarymontrose.com. There you'll find everything you need to know to join us this Sunday. Once again, that's calvarymontrose.com. And while you're there, check out and download our mobile app. Thank you for being here today. We've loved having this time together with you and the Word of God. We hope to see you again next time right here on Come Drink the Water. Many captives free, Holy Spirit.